Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Pigskin Prodigies podcast. I'm Dan Wisso and I'm joined as always by Kevin Bargender. And today we've got a couple topics to talk about. Less than usual, but there's a lot to talk about in regards to those topics. So first topic I wanted to discuss obviously is the NFC Championship game between the Green Bay Packers and San Francisco 49ers this past weekend. A few notes on that game before I open it up to discussion. So, the 49ers, of course, beat the Packers 37-20 to become NFC champions and advance to the Super Bowl. And a few notes with that game. As a team, the 49ers rushed for 285 yards and 4 touchdowns while averaging 6.8 yards per carry. And their leading rusher was Raheem Mostert, who handled 29 carries for 220 yards and 4 touchdowns while averaging 7.6 yards per carry. One of the craziest things about this game is that 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo only attempted 8 passes in the entire game, and yet the 49ers were still able to put up 37 points, which is absolutely ridiculous. And then on the Packers side, I didn't really see many standouts for them other than Davante Adams, who finished with 9 catches for 138 yards. Aaron Jones had a solid game. I think he had 2 touchdowns, and he did pretty good with fairly limited touches in this game. Another thing to highlight, Jay Sternberger caught his first career touchdown pass. And even though Aaron Rodgers' stat line didn't look very good at the end of the game, I think he played a lot better than that. I think he was solid in this game. Definitely not the reason that they lost. But that pretty much caps my thoughts and notes on this game. So I'll turn it over to you now. What did you think?
when you fall behind that much in the first quarter, the first half, it was just almost impossible to come back. And it was almost like watching the 2016 NFC Championship again. It was so eerily close. And then the Packers, they come out in the second half, they score, but it's too late. And it's, like I said earlier, they keep playing half of a game and you just can't do that. It finally came back to, end the season. I kind of saw it coming. I knew that the 49ers were like a for real good team, well-rounded. They weren't going to just, play half a game too. So just kind of a frustrating game. We kind of expected something. Well, I guess I kind of expected the same thing from week 12, but you were almost kind of hoping something different would happen. Like maybe they would like try to stop the run more instead of the pass, and it was like, Mike Penn's defense definitely completely selling out for the pass and not really, it broken tackles like crazy for Raheem Mostert, and just really a dominant player. He looked, like someone said, he looked like Jim Brown out there.
Or Derrick Henry.
So, recently. Yeah, he was just running through everyone. Jair Alexander, just everyone was just trying. Kevin King missed tackle. I think Darnell Savage also missed a tackle.
Yeah, it seemed like they were misjudging his speed and taking a lot of bad angles.
Yeah, and so that was bad. And then another thing that not a whole lot of people brought up was there was like a lot of injuries too in the game.
Jair hurt his thumb, I think, and exited.
Yeah, and then, of course, Za'Darius Smith got hurt again, but then he came back. But they had a lot of injuries early on, and it was like, it kind of reminded me of, like, the old Packers when they finally ran into, like, a really good team. People started getting banged around and hurt, and it's just kind of a very bitter way to end the season, just because like it wasn't even an enjoyable game to watch.
Yeah, it really wasn't
like
competitive. Like the final score was 37-20, but that doesn't indicate like
it was nowhere near that. I think they were within 14 at one point
with like a few minutes left, but they would have needed like a couple onside kicks and scoring drives to
and you can't wait till the second half to start playing and expect to win games. It's really, really tough, especially in the NFC Championship. We saw the Seahawks do it to the Packers 2014, but they were only down 16 at half. The Packers were down, was it 27, right? Yeah.
Yeah, at half, 27-0.
Yeah. It's like, that's a little bit much. That's a little too much to overcome. If it was 16, maybe the Packers could get back in that game. But this one was, you know, pretty much over at halftime. So just really kind of a reminiscent of their whole season, just not playing full games, picking either the first half to play well or the second half to play well. Well, it was the second half this time, which really burned them. So, yeah, just, but I mean, overall, I would say, you know, this was a somewhat successful season for the Packers.
Yeah, even though it was a disappointing finish to a really good season, I think there's a lot of positives to take away. Of course, after winning just 13 games over 2017 and 2018 combined, the Packers won 13 this year with a first-year head coach, and they made it to the NFC Championship game. So that's really encouraging. One other question I wanted to ask you related to the matchups with the 49ers this year. Did you think that the final outcome of the games was a bigger result of a talent gap or a coaching gap?
You know, that was actually something I was kind of wondering earlier today. I was kind of thinking about it because I know I saw some reports that Mike Pettine's job is not necessarily safe after that job. But again, the offense didn't play very well either. So it's hard to blame the defense for the loss when your offense didn't score anything. If it was like a shootout and they lost, maybe I could see it. But the defense, I mean, they did have that one early stop, and then they kind of got steamrolled after that in the first half. But, you know, your offense got to do something and keep the 49ers on the sideline. They just couldn't do that, and they kept, like, turning the ball over and just playing really out of character. And the fumbled snap was just a killer. Like, what are you doing, Corey Linsley? Like, it was just really strange. So, yeah, I want to say, because I think the Packers have some talented players. I really kind of think it's a mix of both. Like, I think we have a very young coaching staff. They haven't really had a lot of time to work together. And then I think the Packers still need to add a few pieces, especially run defenders after that game. So I don't think it's necessarily one or the other. I think it's more of a mix.
Yeah, I kind of think it's both. I think it's a little bit more of a talent gap, but I definitely think you can chalk it up to both of those things. So any last things you want to add on this game before we move on to our off-season preview for the Packers?
I read a report that Aaron Jones stayed on the sideline after the game and watched the 49ers get their championship trophies, or not trophies, their hats and their memorabilia, and then they eventually did get the George Halas trophy. He said he just did that as like extra motivation going into next year, which I thought that was kind of a really interesting and kind of cool thing that he just, you know, like make it hurt, so like next time you're like even extra motivated and extra like you want to get back there. So I thought that was kind of an interesting way to kind of end the season and transition into the off season.
So now we want to get into our kind of preview of the Packers off season and positions that we feel they should consider addressing in both free agency and the draft. So I'll share mine first, and then I'll ask you what you think. So I think wide receiver depth definitely needs to be improved this offseason. I know they'll be getting Equanimeous St. Brown back next year, but he's still an unproven player, and most of the other receivers besides Davante Adams and to a lesser extent Alan Lazard are proven, and all that they've really proven is that they can't be counted on. So yeah, I think that's one of the top priorities this offseason for the Packers. And then I think tight end is still a need as well. They at least have Jay Sternberger, their third-round pick from last year, who barely played this season and could still develop into a starter. So if they didn't address tight end this offseason, I think I could live with it. But I still think that's a position to consider drafting or signing a veteran free agent for. And then a couple others I want to add. I think finding an athletic inside linebacker is near the top of the list of needs, especially now that you have Blake Martinez in a contract year and we don't know if he'll be re-signed. And even if he is, they still need to find a better option in coverage to line up beside him. So I think adding an athletic inside linebacker should be a top priority as well. And then on the defensive line, I think they've got to give Kenny Clark more help. I don't think this was any more apparent than in the NFC Championship game that they need more bodies on the defensive line and guys that can hold the gap. And I'm really not sold on Tyler Lancaster and Dean Lowry as long-term answers at defensive end. I know they did just extend Dean Lowry with starter money, so they might be stuck with him for a little while, for better or for worse, but I still think they need to add at least one guy there. They've got Kiki Kingsley, their fifth-round pick from last year, who could still develop, maybe be a starter down the road. So I don't know if they need to overhaul the position entirely, but I think they got to add at least one offseason addition to reinforce that group. But now I'll turn it over to you. What do you think they need to attack this offseason?
I think there's a lot. Like you said, there's a lot of unknowns as far as every position. Just we don't know exactly how they're going to perform next year, or you know, some of the younger guys, we don't know for sure if they're going to step up. So you almost want to get some of these like insurance picks. And I know like the scouts are working pretty hard at the Senior Bowl this year, or this week, I should say. But I would say the only position that's somewhat safe would be running back. You've got both guys coming back this year, or this next year, and then Dexter Williams as well. So you seem, I mean, I think the Packers are pretty solid at the running back position, but receiver, yeah, like you said, EQ is coming back next year. They've got Lazard, who they're probably going to re-sign. He's restricted anyway. But we kind of, I feel like we've seen his ceiling already, and there's not a whole lot higher that he can go, but maybe I'm wrong. I hope I am. But I think even just having four or five receivers that are really good could help, because, well, that's what happened when they were really good in 2010, 11, 12.
Four or five guys. Andrew Michael Finley.
Yes. Yes. So I think it's kind of a priority to get another good receiver, maybe as early as the second round. And then tight end as well. I wouldn't hesitate to take another third-round pick on a tight end. The only reason I would say maybe not to is because Jimmy Graham does have a year left on his contract, and you do have Sternberger coming back, and you could probably re-sign Mercedes Lewis for, you know, a decent amount as well. So there's a lot of... They've got some pieces coming back. You just don't know if they're going to develop. And obviously, Jimmy Graham hasn't. He did actually kind of show up a little bit in that 49ers game towards the end, which is somewhat encouraging. But I don't know. Can we count on him doing that all year?
I don't think so.
I kind of doubt it. So I would say those two positions for sure. Like you said, inside linebacker, got to get someone that's a little bit quicker and doesn't get ran over. And I think the secondary overall is pretty decent. I wouldn't attack that. But I would definitely say inside linebacker, receiver, tight end. And then, as sad as to say, I think they should definitely start looking for a decent backup quarterback, because I really don't think Tim Boyle is the answer, and we just don't know how long Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to play. Even if he has to sit behind Rodgers for 3 or 4 years, I think it might not be the worst idea to start looking, especially in this extremely deep draft
class. Yeah, I think you definitely want to take a quarterback earlier than later, because you don't want to take one late and then just be bad for a while. So it wouldn't be a bad idea, I think, to start grooming a guy as soon as this year if they decided to go that route. So the Packers have quite a few free agents coming up this offseason, the most notable ones being Brian Bulaga, their right tackle, inside linebacker Blake Martinez, kicker Mason Crosby, and cornerback Tremont Williams. So when you look at the list of impending Packers free agents, who do you think should be the top priorities for them to re-sign?
You know, it's kind of tough, because we're not really sure who they value. A lot of these guys are aging veterans too, so you don't know how they're being perceived as the future. It seems like Gutekunst is okay with keeping some of these older guys around. Ted Thompson was very anti-veteran on his team, so if Ted Thompson was the GM right now, I would say yes, they're all gone. But no, we're a different regime. But I got to think still that Brian Bulaga is probably a priority, even though he's hurt a lot and he's not the most reliable. They really don't have a different answer unless they would, you know, go get someone else. So I could definitely see them like re-signing him to like a short, maybe 2-3 year contract. And I think, yeah, he's probably the number one priority. And then you look at Crosby, just because he's been with the team forever and he's been very, very, very reliable in a league where kickers can be very unpredictable. I think that's kind of worth, I think he just might be worth the contract extension, just so you don't have to worry about that position. Martinez, I almost see it a little bit like Jake Ryan a year ago, where they just kind of let him go and hit free agency, and if he found something better, he's gone. But if he didn't, then maybe they'll give him a chance. But I don't know. His play is solid, but it's not stellar. And I don't know. I've got a bad feeling that they're not going to re-sign him. And so I don't think he's necessarily a priority. I could see Tremont Williams coming back, though. I know they really like his leadership and him as a mentor in the cornerback room. So I guess I would say Bulaga, Tremont Williams, and then Crosby, as far as veterans go, or an unrestricted free agents go. How about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think that Brian Bulaga is the top priority out of this batch of free agents. I think Crosby should be brought back as well. I'd like to see Tremont Williams return as well. I like his leadership, and he was good for the Packers as a slot corner this year, so I think losing him might make a bigger difference than people might think. Blake Martinez, I'm kind of indifferent on Blake Martinez. I guess I'd be in favor of bringing him back if they could get him on a team-friendly contract, but otherwise I wouldn't be that sad to see him go. There are a few other kind of not starters that I would also like to see brought back, like Tyler Irvin. I liked him as a returner, and he was able to do some nice things on the Packers offense as kind of a gadget player. And then Kyler Fackrell, if they can get him back for cheap, I like him as a reserve pass rusher. Don't really like him against the run, but he adds some juice as a pass rusher, and I wouldn't mind seeing him brought back if they can get him relatively cheap. A few others, Alan Lazard, would like to see him brought back, and I think he will be, so I'm not really worried about that one. I think Channon Sullivan was pretty good as a fourth corner this year, so I'd like to see him brought back as well. And maybe Robert Tonyan and Jared Velder, if they can get him back as a backup swing tackle, it'd be nice to have a little extra depth at that position, because that's always seems like one of the biggest problems for teams around the league is lack of quarterback depth and lack of offensive tackle depth. So if they could bring back both Bulaga and Velder somehow, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially with Velder. He filled in against Seattle in the playoff game, and the great thing is you didn't even notice it. So he played really well when Bulaga was sick. So I would definitely, as a kind of insurance, get both of them back. And then, hey, if you, you know, you get into the draft and you're like, hey, someone fell to us, take them. You know, it doesn't hurt to have too many good tackles on your team. You're always developing guys, and you never know. Bulaga's very injury prone, so you know eventually they're going to get their chance to play. It's just kind of strange how the Packers have really failed to develop another offensive tackle after Bakhtiari. They've really kind of swung and missed. So they tried with Spriggs, that didn't work. That was the real big disappointment. And I really doubt that he's back with the Packers next year. He finished the year on injured reserve, I believe, again. And so I think, you know, you got to keep the guys that you have as far as the tackle position.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So last thing, as we get down to the last couple of minutes here, Super Bowl predictions. We've got, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, the 49ers will be taking on the Chiefs in Super Bowl 54, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So I'll turn it over to you first. Who are you picking in this game?
I know everyone's picking the Chiefs, but I got to go to the Chiefs as well. And I don't know. It's just their offense is so explosive and can score so quickly. I feel like even if the 49ers get a decent lead, it's not necessarily over. And I don't know. I feel like it's the time. Like, it's been 50 years. It's time for the Chiefs to finally get that Super Bowl win. And I don't really think this is a Super Bowl caliber 49er team. They're good, don't get me wrong. They're very good at running the ball, but they just don't seem like a well-rounded team. As far as, I'm not really buying into the Jimmy Garoppolo is a really great quarterback yet. So I don't know, just it feels like this is a year for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'd have to go with the Chiefs as well. I think it'll be a really closely contested game, but I'd go with the Chiefs for the same reason as you. I just trust Patrick Mahomes a lot more. And I feel like the Chiefs' defense is surprisingly solid, and they can do enough to hold the Niners' offense in check to get the win.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers definitely have some really good defensive pieces, and especially along the defensive line. But I think they're finally going to meet a really good match in the Chiefs. I totally expect it to be a close game, though, regardless of talent on both sides.
Well, that's everything we had for this podcast. Thanks for taking the time to tune in for this one and all the other ones that you may have tuned into. And I'm not sure when we'll be back for the next podcast. We might do a draft preview in a few months, or it might not be until like next off season.